Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerd Talk Plus is a work of fiction by idiots. Nothing said within this episode should be taken as scientific fact, life advice, or even honesty. We should probably recommend against listening at all. Since you're here, no getting mad about this very dumb thing without the express written consent of Major League Centaurs.
Centaurs!
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
As heard on 107.7 in Seattle, hello there, I'm Gregor, and welcome to my ridiculous Nerd Talk, only longer and dumber. This is Nerd Talk Plus. He's not here. I was going to say he's the author of Eras of Architecture Across Eastern Washington, but our littlest boy, Biggest Blimp, not in attendance. We sent him across the state of Washington yesterday on a wild goose chase, and so when he was like, I'm going camping tomorrow, I'm exhausted, is it okay if I skip? Absolutely, Brandon. We'll miss you because you're the best. Lots of humping this weekend, but yeah.
Worth every second.
He's the first person in my life to make the chaos of Florida seem actually worth it. He's just a meat vessel for human gratification, and we call his wiener a rescue animal. Are you just happy to see me, or is that Spam Masubi in your pocket?
It's absolutely Spam Masubi.
He's not wearing anything under those sweatpants, Spam Masubi. He's the Mandarin Floridian, this time repping Japan. He's Siege. Konnichiwa, Siege.
Konnichiwa, ohayou gozaimasu.
great. And of course, helping us behind the scenes and then schooling us at the end, we have like 5 to 10 time Guinness time winner.
5 to 10 time this last week.
Producer Sean Tasty Gravy, not Gervin. Now, none of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong or perhaps even what we get right. If you could tell a friend, write a review, or just find us online to say sexy things about Siege and lustful things about Brandon and those gutters, nerdtalkplus.com. I had a mistake, a correction from last week. Ooh, I'm getting some echo off of Siege's microphone. A correction from last week. I at one point said find us at nerdtalkplus.com on Instagram. It's all spelled out. I think I just said nerdtalkplus. Whatever I said last week, it was wrong. Spell out the whole words nerdtalkplus.com to find us on Instagram, or type in nerdtalkplus.com on the okay. I think that made it worse, to be honest.
The World Wide Web.
Technically, I'm off of work this week, and so to be doing Nerd Talk is pretty strange. I was not prepared to be here today.
the fact that we're in the studio.
Yeah. Came into work in the studio, and, having fun. It's been a wild weekend. We have Siege all the way in from Miami, Florida, here in the Pacific Northwest, just causing trouble across Seattle for the week. My child's new best friend.
That's right. And your dogs.
How's your trip been?
I have absolutely loved every second of it. I never get a chance to see you guys enough. And I actually haven't been in Seattle proper for a visit for a good couple of years. What is it? It's 2005 now. So at least 3 years. It's been 2022.
Last time you came here, I was still living in the suburbs.
Yes.
And you were like, hey, I'm in town. You guys want to hang out? And I was like, I'm not driving to the city. And my loss. It was before I came to Orlando, I think, though, right?
Yes. That was. We did that too many times. 2021, 2019.
I only remember one. So, but it's nice to get to link up.
Oh, that's right. The other one, you were out of town. So I remember Brandon was supposed to come in, and then Brandon got caught up somewhere because it happened to be MLS Cup final here in Seattle. So that was 2019, and he couldn't get over here because all he was doing was riding a bike.
That's fun. So Yeah, anyway, it's good to have you in town. It's weird because we get to podcast and be on the same feed all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I take for granted that I don't have to be in the same room with you, but it's nice. It was really nice to get the whole gang together yesterday. So the reason you came to town, burp, was that the Sounders played in a thing called the Club World Cup. You're probably familiar with the World Cup, where the best countries take their best players from all the teams or whatever. They bring them home to play for their flag, and then whatever team wins the tournament is the world champion officially. Well, FIFA was like, there's another chance for us to make some money. Every region on the planet, there's 6 or 7 in total, I can't remember. Either there's one for Africa, there's one for Central America and North America, there's one for South America. UEFA is in Europe and everything.
Antarctica.
They take the best clubs from each region and they play a tournament, and whoever wins, oh, you're the one. But Europe's the only one anyone ever actually really champions, I think. That's all they care about. Well, the Sounders won our version of it a few years ago. That was great.
CONCACAF.
Cup of CONCACAF Cup, if you're a former Full 90 Soccer Time listener. That's a podcast we used to do. And and so FIFA was like, let's put every winner from all of the big tournaments against each other to see who the ultimate club is at the end of a tournament. And they decided that with the World Cup being in the United States, Canada, and Mexico next year, probably, that they would have the Corruption Cup here. Sorry, the Club World Cup here to try and find.
Both work.
Yeah. And find what the best club team in the world is. And so the Sounders started their campaign, and Siege decided to come up here and support. It's fun seeing Siege as in his own environment, as a wild Siege has been
like released into the city.
Yeah, you know, a very strange Pokemon in the crowd of ECS members jumping and chanting and everything. Yeah, it was a pretty fun time. I wish Brandon was here because there was so much silliness. Brandon is, I think he needs to get away from his responsibilities a little more often or something like that. I'm sure his wife would argue that he's spends plenty of time golfing from his responsibilities. But he was ready to cut loose and just have fun. 6 a.m. left his house, was here by 10 a.m. on the golf course practicing his putting.
kind of thought we were going to be there.
Yeah, that's on him. But it was Father's Day. Blew off his family and came to see his dad, who was working. So, and then his other daddies, that's us. Hey,
that's right. Happy Daddy's Day.
Was anyone else devastated to hear the news that he could potentially be getting rid of the daddy cooker, the hot tub in his backyard?
That was probably the most shocking moment of his entire tenure here.
I think it was the lowest point of the weekend for sure.
My shoulders dropped. I let out an audible sigh. It was not good.
Yeah.
I mean, the daddy soup machine, the daddy soup mixer, the daddy soup rice cooker, the foot blender, whatever we want to call it. It was just, very, very sad.
Liquid grinder.
You know what? That that was my Friday the 13th.
I unintentionally have that on video. When he said that,
you have that on video.
I was like taking a video on Greg's roof. And he says it, and you go, what? And everybody's just like, oh. And I didn't catch it. And I turn around like, what's happening? He goes, the daddy soup's going away.
Potentially. I think if we make a big enough stink right now, it only takes 3.5% of the population to rise up to get someone to change their mind about something. So that's what I saw today. Anyway.
We'll fight for it.
I'll say that it's one thing to have us all in different rooms or different recording locations saying ridiculous things to each other. But my house, we've talked about a lot. Okay, first of all, I didn't know that we were partying at my house. That was great.
I thought we were going to party at my hotel.
Yeah, Gravy declared it, and I was like, all right, we're partying at my house. He was like, at noon, I'm headed towards Gerg / downtown-ish. And I was like, okay, I better start cleaning immediately because this is a disaster. And big insecurity around my own, I won't get into it or whatever, but the mental health, not good. The state of my living, squalor. And so it was a real challenge. And I have like a lot of weird like therapy issues around this or whatever, but that's fine. Okay, so everyone comes over.
That's what you're going to say, weird trinkets around your living room.
Yeah, dude, so many weird trinkets. I'm a trinkety guy. But everyone showed up and it was nice. We were having fun. Now, there's an Airbnb on either side of my condo, of my townhouse, and they're oftentimes driving me crazy. And for once, it was us maybe driving someone else crazy. We go up under the roof, though, after hours of drinking. And, well, There's two parts to this that we have to address. One, Brandon has to get the full scope of what my house is like, so we have to go to the back alley and check it out or whatever. On the way back,
he's realtoring you.
Yeah, yeah, he really was like, if I'm going to sell this place and get my commission, what is it going to take? On the way back, the end unit has a garage built onto the end of it. It was like when they built it, it was six units. They added a seventh. Maybe my numbers are wrong. And they put a little garage there, and it's got a, like, all in the trend right now is these like frosted glass garage doors. And so we're walking off and I hear, you know, something, Brandon's butt cheeks or whatever. And like, you guys are giggling. I'm like, oh, you too, or whatever.
Of course.
Now, 24 hours later, I'm riding around with Siege and he's like, oh yeah. Then when he put his butt cheeks on that, I was like, wait, that was real? Yeah, dog. Brandon actually put his naked butt cheeks on my neighbor's garage door where they have a camera pointed at it where I'm also in frame. So
we were very disappointed that it didn't actually leave cheek prints.
Yeah. I mean, then it would have been pretty funny.
Steamed glass.
Yeah, steamed hams. Yeah. So we go up to the roof though, and we walk out onto the roof and it's like, imagine this podcast, Kiki and Dom can relate to this. Imagine this podcast, only you wander into it in the wild. And
we've all been drinking.
And we've all been day drinking for a number of hours. And so we pop up onto the roof, open the door, and like, I'm lucky enough to have a roof deck. It's great. But when you have a townhouse, the next roof deck is a 1.5 foot barrier between, like, you'd walk out, you're like looking at in the eyes of the people that are banging in the hot tub or whatever, if you're lucky. And so we walk out and the two people on the roof, I was like, oh no. And between all of us, Brandon was like in for it. He was ready to be a silly little goose. Gravy's pretty blunt with his whatever he says or whatever.
Assessment of everything.
Yeah. And all I could think of was like, I got to get everyone off this roof and I got to leave Siege up here to talk to these people to smooth all this out. But also F them. Like, we all have this roof. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Whatever. Screw you guys.
You're the only homeowner there. Why are you so damn worried about what the Airbnb people think when they never care what you think?
Yeah. It's a fair point. Yeah. I don't like causing trouble when I don't have to or whatever. And I don't like making people uncomfortable. It's just a thing that I've never been. It's never been my unless they're asking for it. Those people just enjoying the sunshine. No, they weren't asking for it. I was just he nodding his head like, yep, they were asking for it. No. But also it didn't matter at the end because they got up and went inside. And so we annoyed them off the roof. Then I turn and I look at the other. There's two to the other side of me and the house two away. There was another group of Airbnb and they also got up and went inside. And so this podcast in perfect true form chased off two groups of people that were trying to enjoy their sunny day. So great job, everyone.
But on that note, we also had your neighbor's hot tub all to ourselves at that point.
Yeah, I didn't expect that so much feces to come out of you when we got
Daddy soup.
Sorry, Kevin. So he's the owner of one of them. But yeah, so just an amazing day, amazing opportunity to get some hang time. I never invite people to my house. I never, ever want that. But it was really nice just having dudes that I just like being around and like being able to like drink some beers. Gravy showed up with like all of the beers. Like, couldn't have been all cooler. Just a great time. Gravy, you had the best line of the entire time. You said, hey, where's that Botas helmet? For a little context, I won a contest some years ago where I won a race worn Formula One race horse. A Formula One helmet worn at the Brazilian Grand Prix by Valtteri Bottas, a race winning Formula One driver. And also, what is he like? If you don't have a degree from Harvard, but they give you one as a
honorary
Bogan is what he is. The rednecks of Australia are called Bogans. And he is proud to be an honorary Bogan. But before,
is that like Paul Hogan? So a Pogan?
Paul Hogan's Bogans. That's if you don't have a fantasy Australian football team called Paul Hogan's Bogans. I don't know what you're even doing.
Bogan's Heroes?
We were spending a lot of time describing what Formula One is because we were watching it to the other guys because Greg and I are pretty big F1 nerds. And and we were really trying to school Brandon on it, and we were talking about how tiny these guys are. And I'm like, well, where's that helmet? Because it is a tiny boy, jockey-sized helmet, and the littlest
Brandon's
boy.
Brandon's our littlest boy.
Yeah, littlest boy fit in like a glove.
And also a big NASCAR guy.
Yeah, and so he knows about the racing world.
Yeah. So, like, we're over here going, oh, these cars and their little engine things and their wings and all and this newfangled stuff.
$200 million budgets. And yeah. And so, I go get it because, like, if one of us is going to be able to put it on, it's not giant head Gravy, not giant head Gerg. I presume, Seed, your head is a giant head as well.
Yes, 7 5/8.
Okay, so you're the smallest of the trio today.
Of the trio, yeah.
But when Brandon's there, he brings the average down. So I go get the Botas helmet. He, without hesitation, puts that on. And then without hesitation, tries to take his shirt off over it, even though the neck is not big enough to get around a four Formula One helmet. And there's been episodes where we talk about Brandon's trim physique that would be perfect for draining liquids off of a roof. So he tears off his shirt and we have an impromptu photo shoot. It was pretty erotic, if I'm being honest.
The lighting in the living room was surprisingly perfect, especially where you had your shades just kind of half up, half down.
Yeah.
It was golden hour is what it was. And then you get that bright Jesus-y sun reflecting off of him.
Brandon the Redeemer.
Arms spread wide. Brandon the Redeemer. And then he climbs on top of my lap and snuggles me and I kiss him on the helmet.
All true. I have proof.
We'll be posting that on @nerdtalkplus.com on Instagram later this week.
I found some, I put together a little like great Father's Day weekend. I got to spend time with my boy, with my boys. I never say that and I regret having said that, but
the boys.
But then also I like, you know, Brandon's a hot commodity. Look at that guy. And he's married. So stay thirsty, everybody. But I wouldn't tag him in it because A, he wouldn't accept any kind of tag I gave him because he's scared about his, you know, business or whatever.
Actual business and business life.
But also like he's the same guy that tears his shirt off over a helmet in a room full of dudes drinking beers. So like it was the closest I think I've seen Brandon to not frat party, but like Like he's been hanging out with the golfers and the business people and everything. And I was like, oh, look at you. You're like, you're letting loose like a pent up businessman or something.
We are his fraternity. We are his brothers. We give him the freedom to be the Brandon, which he could aspire to be. Should he not be trapped in golf slacks?
I take that responsibility seriously. So, it was, I can't believe he got up at 6 in the morning just to drive to hang out with us.
For real. From that Spokane. That was so awesome, dude.
Now,
I felt so honored. Like, honestly, because like, I know I'm coming from out of town and I know that like we kind of last minute sort of forced this thing together, but the way that you guys always show up is just, I just love it. I love
the best.
You guys
you're
so
worth
much.
It. I've got a question to ask here.
Uh-oh.
My question of the week, would Brandon have still driven across the pass on Father's Day if no Siege?
I need that butthole.
Yes, he would.
I don't know, because I think about my own situation, and if I woke up on a Sunday morning and I was like, I'm gonna do what? Go see Gravy and Gregor? Like, ugh.
No way just for us. Yeah.
That sounds terrible, but Siege is here and he's got a, you know, Brandon's got a,
I need that butthole.
Exactly.
His words.
Yeah, his not words. That's not us. That's not AI. Kudos to Gravy again. I've got mad Gravy props, it turns out, this time.
Gravy has been on a tear since the trip to the wild, wild east
of Washington. It was time to get some foods going or whatever. I had just been to Father's Day brunch. I had biscuits and gravy.
Well, that's weird.
Wow. He had gravy's biscuits.
It was thick. Let me just like you
said. Look at him smiling and scratching his beard.
I had biscuits and gravy for Father's Day brunch. And then it was like Brandon shows up and he's like, yo, I'm hungry. And I was like, well, you had 2 hours to like to take care of this. Like, why don't you just do it? He was waiting for us, obviously. So he walked over to get some banh mi. 6 out of 10 banh mi at the place that is like the most recommended banh mi place. He was like, it just tastes like mayonnaise and then crunchy bread and crunchy stuff or whatever. I was like, oh, it's like a McChicken, which is my favorite. Good. I'm not but like that's what I expect for the $1 add-on after I get the double cheeseburger and I'm going to double that up by, you know, the value meal. Give me a McChicken.
It was kind of disappointingly empty. I did catch a glimpse of it. I mean, yeah. Normally I want my banh mi like stuffed.
Yeah. Just never mind. Trying to keep it above the board today. You set me up and I had the...
I'm sorry. I just have a bad habit of trying to pull the worst out of you.
Yeah, that's fine. I understand. But yeah, so it's time to eat again after 44 minutes of drinking. And and so we're like, what should we do? And like the consensus was, well, I mean, I live right by the International District. There's like all the, like the legit Chinese food places and stuff. Listen, like... the same way that I feel about houses, like, yeah, people love an old house because it's creepy and spooky and creaky and like, that's beautiful. And the wood finishing, like Brandon's house is a perfect example. It's yes. Like a beautiful home and the woodwork is incredible and what a gorgeous place. You'd have to force me to go look at that before I ever considered living there because I don't want that. I want new construction, put it up in a hurry. It's kind of crappy, but I know it's good and done and finished. And it's like, I want the new Civic. I don't want the classic convertible whatever or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, if I could have both, obviously there's some compromise there or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I'm going to get the new Subaru, not the 90s Land Cruiser, like Gravy Drives or whatever. He can like work on that and is proud of that. And that's cool. We got to ride around in it this weekend. That was really fun. And so I'm not going to, let's find the scariest looking, dirtiest Chinese food restaurant that we can in the world. I'm going to like the one where like I saw pictures on the internet. And it looks like I might not have to wash my hands upon entering and exiting or whatever. Now
that's always the worst kind though.
And that's not fair. And I'm not trying to be, I just am not bold. I'm not brave enough to go into a place like that where the language barrier, where there's enough things that are like keeping me from like feeling comfortable enough to go for it. Gravy's like, I've been going to this place since I was 4 years old. We're going. Shut up. And I was like, great. This is all I need. We go into a, you know, headless ducks in the window Chinese food restaurant, which means it's the best Chinese food restaurant. But I'm too scared to go in. I can go to other countries and enter their places of their establishments to eat, no problem. But in my own, I'm like, this doesn't feel comfortable to me. What a jerk. We go in, we sit down, and I'm like, what are we even going to do with this? The menu is like, whatever. And Gravy's like, you want me to just order? And I was like, yes, just do all of that.
Best choice we've made of the entire week.
I've had 5 drinks. I'm like giggling in a public space. Like no one wants to see us come in. We're at a table much too big for us. But it has the spinny thing on it. We're causing problems spinning the thing around to get the tea around. It's bonking into things. I'm like uncomfortable.
Knocking over dishes.
The family next to us is like, like we've been coming here every day this week. And now these dorks are here for their dumb soccer. Like, okay. It was killer. I cannot recommend going to Cow Cow more.
So good.
Because where I'm from, there's not a lot of Chinese people. I'm from the desert Southwest. It's like living in Spokane. There's not a lot of Chinese people making Chinese food.
Yeah. But
there's a lot of Americanized Chinese food being made by the you know, immigrant kitchen staff or whatever. They figured out how to do it. They fill it full of sugar and MSG and it's delicious. And it's my favorite. You go to San Francisco, there's the really sweet pocket of like, yeah, you get that Americanized Chinese food made by Chinese people. And it's like, there's no better place for fast takeout delivery Chinese food than San Francisco. Yeah. It's incredible. Seattle, hugely deprived of decent Chinese food.
Of the Americanized cheap Chinese food.
Yeah, just like,
yeah. It's like all legit food here.
Well, and that's what these places down there feel like. It feels like there's like a real big Korean boom right now where you can like, there's a lot of places that are and awesome. Like my best friend growing up, a Korean kid. And like, I can't imagine how good he feels being able to go and find his culture being, maybe he's like a hipster about it and he hates it because he wants it to be his.
It's just mine. You go find your own culture. Cultural appropriation.
I was mad when we didn't have it, and now I'm mad that we do. It's like, but yeah, like I don't again, it's just intimidating for me because it's outside of my comfort zone. And like, that's a me problem. I get it. I'm not, you know, whatever. But to like, you can find authentic stuff and lots of cities have a Chinatown or whatever, but like a San Francisco or like most cities I've lived in. Yeah. Like I just had a Chinese food place where I could just get some cashew chicken. That was killer. And here it was really hard to find it in the suburbs, in the city. Like Uptown China was always my go-to, where it just felt like it was like the interesting, like very safe neighborhood joint where you walk in, you're like, oh, this feels like it's to lure white people in.
Exactly. And it worked.
Right? I mean, when you're in the International District, when you're in Chinatown, it's like the people are coming from other neighborhoods, other cities around Seattle to come in and take that in. And so to be part of that, I now feel such a confidence to go in there because somebody broke that for me. It got me in there.
Yeah.
And Cool Keith, our buddy, has lived down there for forever, and he's frequented all these places, but I've never gone to any of them with him. He's like a secret eater. He doesn't like go out with everyone else to eat. So, just a really cool experience to go there. How did you feel about the atmosphere of the match yesterday, Siege?
Well, first off, I mean, I knew it was going to be, being an ECS, I knew that there was going to be some events going on.
To set a preface, it's the Club World Cup again. Yeah. It is a FIFA joint. It's not like a Sounders thing. It's not like you're going to the Sounders match and it's going to be fun. It's like FIFA activations outside. Got to have the FIFA app. Got to jump through the 17 levels of data mining to get everything done. Like every process is like spend $1 million on a t-shirt for, not for the Sounders, but for the FIFAs. It's annoyingly like someone threw up a FIFA experiment all over outside of Lumen Field.
Of course. And then even on top of that, the game day timing was different. Like the start of the entire match was different. The walkout was different. It was all kind of crazy, but knowing with the whole political climate going on, especially me being from Miami, we were getting warnings beforehand that, Customs and Border Patrol and ICE were going to be doing quote unquote security outside of the stadium down there outside of Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, for where Inter Miami was going to be kicking off the entire Club World Cup. Side note, they didn't earn their way in. They were given a spot by FIFA.
Messi.
Yeah, Messi. And, side note, we did actually have some of our Tropic Sounders on an Adidas-sponsored, FIFA-sponsored Club World Cup pre-party boat with Roman Torres, waving Tropic Sounders SGA FSU flags out in the ocean.
Roman Torres, a former Seattle Sounders FC player and big lovable dude, the biggest boy.
And also made the winning penalty kick to win us our first ever MLS Cup.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, the it felt, I knew from internal ECS talk that we weren't all going to be there. The major Latino subgroup of ECS wasn't going to be there. The Barra wasn't going to show up. They just don't risk it. I knew a lot of the dry side supporters weren't going to be there. And plus FIFA was not allowing the same kind of game day ops where ECS usually has the entire end zone, the entire Brougham end. And they kind of forced us into one single section in the middle behind the goal.
ECS is where the drums are and the flags and the chanting and all the crazy excitement of a soccer match from the fans' perspective comes from there. It's not just the fans sitting on the sideline areas watching going, oh, that's nice or whatever. It's the people that are like going for it the whole time and making all the ruckus.
Yeah, a lot of the chants that you hear, even the stadium-wide chants, they're started in our end. When you hear the call and repeats, the Seattle Sounders and all that fun stuff. That's all us yelling. And so it was kind of dumbed down, but I was really proud of ECS for standing up. We always stand with the players on stuff. So, and there's always been stuff about the MLS players not getting, even though MLS is getting a giant windfall of like almost $100 million for being in the Club World Cup, the players were getting something less than 10% of that, which is like less than a third or less than like 30% of what any other club in the world would be getting. So we were standing with them, pay our fair share, and also with, you know, stop the raids. So there was, you know, a little bit of ruckus down in there, but I mean, I felt like we really held our own being crammed into one section. We had fun. There was, I think the final attendance was something like only 32,000, but tickets sold. But
because they do the classic thing where they load up the side of the stadium where the cameras point towards the field. So every time the cameras pan back and forth, it looks like there's a ton of people there. But then you look at the other side, there's no one there. That the Chelsea LAFC match, there was no one there. It was like, barren. No.
Apparently, Seattle has had the best ticket sales in the entire continent for this so far, which, I mean, they did have one side of the upper deck open. The other side was completely empty.
Yeah.
But I mean, it just, I felt like the city showed up enough considering it wasn't even the top team in our group that we were playing against. So
it helps that it's on a Sunday, not midweek or anything like that.
And of course it was on Father's Day too. So
yeah, dads, what's up? Dead inside daddies. What's up? Anyway. I thought, going to the match was super fun. I thought that it was cool, like being able to, like, no one was there. So we just kind of like, we had seats somewhere, but we're like, well, we're not fitting there. So we just like found some seats that were like comfortable and we could just goof off. I learned how to swear at somebody and, in Portuguese from a Brazilian fan that was there. So that was pretty fun. And, I don't remember what I said now, nor do I want to.
Oh, I know what you said.
I don't remember the first word, but it's the one that everyone gets in trouble for when they they're doing a goal kick or whatever. Anyway, to be fair, I did not want to know. I was making a joke. Well, if only I knew Portuguese. The guy in front of me turns around. He's like, "Well, I know Portuguese." And I was like, "No, I'm joking." And he was like, "What is it?" And I was like, "I'm not gonna do that." And he was like, "No, tell me. I'm cool, bro." I was like, "Yeah." But the joke is dead now, guy. I'm not. This was not about actually swearing at people in Portuguese. Yeah. It's that it was just okay. So then he told me that I yelled it 500 times because I've been drinking all day.
My personal highlight of the match was meeting Brandon's mom.
Oh, that's right. Shout outs to Siege's new girlfriend. That's so cool that Jennifer came with us to the match. That's,
hey, sugar.
We go to the match. Brandon's mom's fun, and she's there to, you know, she's not there to party, but she's there to like just be fun. And she can show up to the bar beforehand. She can have a beer at the game or whatever. It was cool. Love seeing that, and love seeing Brandon like typical male, like a typical son behavior where you're my mom's here. And then he's like, "Hi, mommy."
"Hi, mom. I love you."
And so when they're leaving, it's the best. And Brandon didn't catch it. It made me so upset. I was like, "Okay, bye, Jennifer. Good to see you. Always good to see you." And C just like, "All right, call me."
While giving her a giant hug.
Yeah. Last, like, a one Mississippi, maybe one and a half too long.
I mean, she squeezed me. What can I say?
Yeah, man, you squeeze her back. So that's don't act like you're innocent there, buddy. But yeah, it was we really think it would be funny if all these daddy jokes that we make, if Siege actually became Brandon's stepdaddy. So we're collectively pulling for it. I think even Brandon's pulling for it. Like, it's, as we know, Siege is the funny one. Everyone loves Siege. So even Brandon.
I would love to have Brandon as a stepson.
I would love for Brandon to be your stepson, too. I need you to ground him or spank him.
Is he too old to adopt at this point?
Nothing's too old. Don't let anything stop you, see. Don't stop believing. Journey taught me that.
Gravy, use a Google. How old can he be for me to adopt him in the state of Washington?
I'll tell you what. What if you could get power of attorney?
Ooh. That's all I need.
Yeah.
I would ruin everything, though. Don't ever give me power of anything.
No. The power of Grayskull is even too much for you. That's
you got about four more years because 18's
really
18's the age limit, so our 14-year-old little boy, you still got a few more years. Oh.
To be clear, everybody, Brandon is an adult. When we're saying we're drinking beers and he's rubbing his butt on stuff, he is actually a proper adult. That's not we're not that, well, maybe we are not that big of a present for his
34th birthday. Was that what it was?
Yeah. Oh, 34.
Good god.
Yeah.
He's got two kids at 34. Rough.
Thanks for reminding us how old we are again.
Don't worry, he's equally dead inside. So
yes.
I had this thought, guys. We'll be right back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if we've gone to break or not yet, but I just figured I'd put that in there. So we should. I had this thought that I have a line. It's too far. We talk a lot about trademark podcast idea that we have the Dead Inside Dads or whatever.
Yes.
But we also talk, I myself do a lot of correcting of things. Happy Father's Day. I'm like, what is it?
Happy Daddy Day.
Yeah, right. And so I'd prefer Daddy's Day, I think. But yeah, anyway.
It's true. Yeah. Happy Daddy's Day.
I won't take it to the Dead Inside Daddies podcast. We can call the people that listen to it daddies, but it's the Dead Inside Dads. Like, I'm not taking it that far. So I have a limit. No. I found my limit. Fair?
I kind of agree with it. It just doesn't seem proper to call ourselves daddies. Somebody else has got to come up with that. Not just us.
No, we're not the daddies. Our listeners are the daddies.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like if we were to call it Dead Inside Daddies, we would be already pronouncing ourselves daddies.
Oh, no, I understand.
Somebody else call us daddies. I'm not going to call myself daddy. I'll call you daddy.
What's up, dog?
No, call me daddy.
What's up, daddy?
Mark it.
Okay, so I found this is actual Nerd Talk stuff. Ready? Anyway, brilliant weekend. Gravy, thanks for coming up. Siege, thanks for flying in. Brandon, thanks for not being here today. Great, great stuff. But also, thanks for taking off your shirt, put on a helmet. It got weird, and I liked it. Also, before he left, Brandon was really proud of this. He basically just climbed on top of me while I was in a rocking chair that I couldn't really get out of, not a rocking chair, but like a glider that I have in my living room. And I whittled it myself. He climbed on top of me, and I'm not here to resist. But I'm not the one who's like, let's take our shirts off. If we're getting in the hot tub, sure, whatever. But I'm not the one that's down for like the weird male erotic behavior that you guys love.
Is it me with the mustache cheersing?
Yeah. Like that stuff is not for me. But he hops on me. He climbs on and then he just like locks on like a koala bear. Only he like tried to keep it without any like crotch rubbing, which, you know, fine.
Until the end.
He was like, this is the most contact I've ever been able to get Greg to give me. And I was like, I'm not opposed. I'll hug you all the time, buddy. I'll walk with my arm around you, whatever you need. I just like, you guys get real amped up to be like erotic with each other. That's not. Talk to the.
As we were holding hands together at the Chinese place.
Yeah, talk to the ex. I'm not. That's not me. I'm a prude. I'm not. I'm in my own little weird bubble. My only child with two older brothers, Gerg, is not. That's not for me. But like, if someone wants to offer me the affection, I don't shun it. I'm not opposed to it. I just am not searching out mustache kisses from each other. Like, that's just not my speed or whatever.
Excuse me. It's mustache cheersing. We're not kissing each other's mustache. Just kind of rubbing them.
I put the peanut butter on here. I got the chocolate on here. Should we rub them together? Okay.
Best commercial reference ever.
I feel like you guys should do that. I've said that loud. That sounds really good.
If only he were here. We would do it in studio.
clip it. Okay, so I've got some actual Nerd Talk stuff, and I want to talk to you about business ethics. Great, that's the turn. That's the turn everyone wanted, right? Oh, wait, hold on. That's so fun. I forgot about that.
Oh, that's right. You got buttons.
Thanks, Siege. Our dumb podcast is back, everybody.
Weak.
Weak. Wait, what's up,
dummies?
Douche.
It's one of my favorites, man.
Oh. Douche.
I haven't heard that in like 4 years.
Awesome.
Screw the show. I'm just.
Deep yams.
Hey, Siege, can I ask you a question?
Oh, you may ask me a question.
Go Panthers. Sorry, that guy.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right. Okay.
I'm related.
All right. So, I went to this concert about a million years ago. It was this band called Fugazi, and they don't sell merchandise. They don't charge more than, at the time, this is back in 2000, 2001, they don't charge more than $8 for a ticket. They don't charge more than it costs to print the...
They did that as late as 2000?
Yeah, it was like...
Oh, man, that was great.
The most they'd ever charged was on that tour, they had to go up to $8 because prices just got...
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was Tucson, Arizona, and I go to this Fugazi concert, and... 20 years later, let's call it, Fugazi goes through the almost 1,000 recorded shows that they have. And they're board recordings for almost all of them. And they go through and, hold on, let me back up. A couple years later, one of our local music scene colleagues, I was in bands and stuff like that when I was younger, he got in touch with Ian McKay, the singer, guitar player from Fugazi. It was easy to access. I've emailed him before myself just to ask him a question. He like got back to me right away. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
And so Punk Rock Icon, it is truly my favorite band of all time. I forced myself to pick a favorite band at one point because people can't handle, well, as a response.
Yeah, that's me.
And so Fugazi is my favorite band, full stop. And so somebody got in touch with him and was like, hey, can I have a copy of the board recording? And he was like, sure, and sent him a CD of it.
That is amazing.
And so like back in like 2003 or 2004, we had the show that we went to, and then for like 10 or 15 years that was just what you just had, that live recording of Fugazi. And there's a few others out there that you could get on, you know, the whatever the equivalent of LimeWire was. So then they decide that they're going to release Pay What You Want for live recordings, and they'll go through and they have like the recordings and they like how good the recording was and some photos and stuff like that. And so for, you know, $5 was the recommended amount, you could get a bunch of shows. Okay. And so I did, and I bought the Tucson one because I'd gotten it for free and all that. Okay, great. I went back to the website now 3 years ago, and I was just kind of clicking around. I was like, oh my God, there's this awesome photo. A photographer there on film took two photos and then stitched them together on just like how he printed it. It's not even fancy stitching. And then he just wrote some notes at the bottom and then released it. The photos are like kind of blurry. They're not great, but they're like the essence of what Fugazi is, a DIY. Yeah. Like, yep. Everyone's welcome. It's an art that we're all part of it as a community. This is so cool. And so I like messaged Ian from Fugazi to be like, hey, do you have like a copy of this? Like, it's the only show of yours I ever saw, and I would like to print it and put it on my wall just because it's like such a good memory for me. And he was like, oh man, all I have is the scan. But if you reach out to this guy, he's the guy who took the photo. I bet you he'd help you out or whatever. Okay. So I do that. I reach out and I'm like, hey man, could you help me out with this? I get his assistant. Hits me back. Hey. Like, I'll reach out and see if I can make it happen. Okay, great. Ah, this is cool. Don't hear anything back. Okay. So then as it happens, there's some new Fugazi news. They're going to put all of them on, all of the live recordings, slowly but surely are going to show up on, I don't know, Spotify or something like that, right? And so I'm like, oh yeah, I wonder whatever happened to that. I was kind of bummed. It fell through, whatever. And so I reached back out to the person and I was like, hey, like, do you think you could, you know, just circling back around, do you think you could like poke around and see what you find out from me again? And she gets back to me the next day and she's like, hey, so Bob, whatever the photographer is, he's doing a European something or other for the next 6 weeks. And so he won't be around. But his going rate for selling prints of his work, especially with his own thoughts written on them, is $4,000.
What?
And I was like, are you, I mean,
Bob Ross?
Like, are you familiar with like the Fugazi ethics? Like, I almost wanted to forward it to Ian and be like, can you tell me am I high for thinking that this is insane, that a guy took a picture at your show and now he's exploiting your legacy for $4,000?
I mean, that's completely exactly against everything that Fugazi really stands for as a band.
I'm going to send it to him and see what he thinks. Just like, because I don't need him to do anything. I just want him to like tell me that I'm not crazy. Is it fair that I'm upset? Is that how I say it? Is it fair that I'm upset that this is what the response I got back? Because I don't want anyone, like, I don't want to, if it's art, I also don't want to take away from an artist's table or whatever. I just think it's insane that, like, you got access to this thing, you took these pictures, and now you're profiting. Like, might as well sell a t-shirt out front while you're at it, you ding dong.
I understand that everybody's got to make money off of, like, what they do, but that is just, like, especially from going to that band's show and understanding what that band stands for, that is just complete. It's just beyond me that somebody would even think of that much. I mean, I get it. It's a classic photo from a time that's long gone, and to
knows that photo. It's not like everyone else is clamoring to get it. It's not of something important. It's just of a one small slice of my life from when I was 21 years old.
Yeah, but who is this guy? They, like, you couldn't sell me Buzz Aldrin's picture from the moon landing that he took himself for $4,000.
Especially a print.
Yeah. I mean, we're not talking about original film here. We're talking about a print that doesn't even have his handwriting on it. The only his handwriting on it that's on there is stuff that he already wrote, however many years ago, 20 years ago.
And it's not like that's prolific. It's not like he wrote some sort of like prose or something like that. He just like said like what Fugazi is and all this. And then like to say that, like to say those prose or to say whatever he wrote and then also be like, no, this is worth more than the band.
Fugazi.
Than the band Tucson. Made at that show is like insane to me. Man. Now, okay, so this is where the ethics part comes into it. The pictures are there. They're scanned and put on the Fugazi website. I don't know how the technology exactly works, but I'm also not dumb. Like, do I find I get the ads all the time for Adobe Photoshop, generative AI. Do I take these pictures and say, suck my ass? Can't say that. And, and then just upscale them enough to be able to print them so they're the size that I want, and then post them anyway. Like, I feel like in true punk rock fashion, and listen, like, I'm a square nerdy white guy or whatever, but I was like fighting for the same things when I was 20 years old, like a lot of other 20 year olds do.
Your giant blue mohawk?
Yeah, dude.
Like, honestly, man, it's like,
it's for me. It's not for games.
I was going to say, this is not, this is something for you to put on your wall at home. This isn't something necessarily for you to like be out flaunting or putting in the office or having a discussion piece around like the studio or whatever. This is for you personally, because this was an event that you were at. This is something personal to you. For somebody to charge $4,000 off of, like you said, a show that the band probably didn't even make close to half of that. Like, I don't know, man. I'm all about, like, if it's on the internet, it's like free game at this point, you know?
The other part for me is that, like, what if this assistant was just like not just trying to get rid of me and just like said the thing and didn't actually talk to the guy, and the guy isn't behind this, and it's like, what if this guy needs to fire his assistant, you know? Like, what if it's what if that's the issue? It's probably like his wife or something.
We got to make a mortgage payment this month. He hasn't been doing anything. He's backpacking around Europe all by himself, doing God knows what.
So, I mean, you know, I hate the AI doing the art. Like, that's like a big no-no for me. Like, it's funny when we do it and it's us flying a space truck or whatever. Okay, that's obviously like we're doing it for yucks, not for action.
Allegedly.
or like when we're telling the, you know, the Instagram chat to like give us a picture of a guy with a beard that has feet in it. I almost didn't say feet.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't say it.
Trying so hard this week, guys. Trying so hard.
We're being so good. You have no idea.
Okay, so then this became an issue for me, because then I was like, well, what? You know, there's another ethics question. And this one I take more seriously because it is work related. And so I want to be clear, just for a second, that jokes aside, like, I would do this responsibly and ethically. I'm not putting anything at risk. But like we have a Getty pictures,
Getty images
membership for the company. And I was like, well, I wonder if the guy whose picture I want is on Getty anywhere. And I looked it up, and there's some great photos of the dude in there. There's a bunch of, or a few, there's like probably 10 total, and there's a couple cool photos in there where I was like, okay, that'd be rad. I could probably do that. And then I was like, if I write a story about it, you know, if I find a way to blog about it or something like that, it's the anniversary of whatever, put the picture, photographer gets a couple bucks, the company pays for it like we should. And then I also print a copy to put on my wall or whatever, just for personal use, not for anything else. Maybe that's okay. And I don't know what the rules are, Getty, if you're listening, and I'm not saying I'm going to do this, but like, it would be something I would look into because maybe it's a choice. Then in that process, I come across this guy who took this incredible photo of my favorite musician. Is this guy called Guy Picciotto. He's the other singer guitarist from Fugazi. And he's a weird, wild guy, but he's like passionate. And it's like a weird, like that art school kid, that like the drama kid at your school who was like so far more passionate than anyone else about being in drama that it was like unrelatable, but he wasn't even aware that you were like judging him or whatever. Like that guy, he's just this incredible man. And there's this picture that this photographer took, and for $125, I could buy a print of it at a decent size. And have that and get it framed and put it up in my house. And like, I don't have a ton of money right now. Things aren't going so great for old Gerg or whatever. But I was like, maybe this is the answer. Maybe I find a guy who's not being a jerk off about it. Maybe I support an artist who took this other amazing photo that doesn't mean as much to me, but is like $125 for a professional photograph on printed nicely and everything. To me, that doesn't feel like you're doing Fugazi dirty. It feels to me like you're doing it the way they need to. Yeah, you got to pay your bills, but like that's like a totally reasonable amount. And so I don't, there's probably something, it probably lands somewhere in between all these. Like maybe I could print a few things and just make a small collage of photos that are of this band that I love. And one of them is one that I buy from an artist. One of them is where I give the middle finger to the guy who's trying to rip me off. And the other one is Getty done the right way because we have a contract with them.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, $125 for an artist that means something to you, that like this, like, the thing that I have to emphasize with this is a personal thing to you, whether it is the exact photo or the exact concert or whatever. That's hard. That's where it varies. But $4,000 is just that's exploitation. It feels
like the person who was communicating didn't realize what they were communicating, and they were just like giving me a blow off answer. And so I kind of want to push back and be like, that is ethically insane that you would say that. Like, I think that you should definitely reevaluate your relationship with that. I'm disappointed in you for how insanely unethical this is.
That actually sounds like a really good response. That's
good, like, man. It's punk rock. Yeah. I sent you the picture that I'm talking about. It won't mean anything to you guys. It's just like some, you know, this guy's just like, he's just kind of like my musical hero. Like, he makes me like,
that's a great photo.
And it's like, it doesn't, if you watch it, I'll send you a video of them performing that. Like
this really actually captures like the whole essence of, you know, just really just rocking
out. It's a blurry photo.
This is a great photo. Yeah.
It's a blurry photo. It's black and white. He plays this beautiful black and white Rickenbacker guitar. All of it's kind of, but he's in motion, and that chaotic passion, that energy that this guy gives shows that you can't even capture it on film because he's moving.
What I love is that the guitar is essentially what's in focus, and everything else about it around it is full chaos motion. I love this picture.
Okay, I'm going to buy it then. If that's a really good response.
Great photo. You definitely need this.
I've had it open in my browser for
how quickly you sent it. Yeah, I was gonna say it was definitely on a tab
for 6 weeks. It's been like, and it's only 11 by 14, but like that's probably pretty big. Gravy, you do some framing and stuff like that. 11 by 14 will look cool on the wall, right? That's like a pretty decent size, won't it? Like, put a nice frame on it, and it gives me a thumbs up. Yeah, anyway, okay, well, that's good. Like, I feel like I'm not wildly off the mark when I'm upset about it. Because again, the nerd talk part of this is that I'm a nerd for music, obviously, but is that like, I don't want to turn to generative. I don't want to turn to the computers to do something. But if someone's going to pee at me, then I don't mind taking away from their art a little bit. But also I do, because I don't want to ever say that about an artist.
Yeah. I get it.
It's hard
for me on both sides of these two, because I used to do a lot of art, shaping surfboards, doing a lot of art on surfboards and stuff like that. And people would always want to be like, yeah, give me the bro discount. And I'm like, yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to live, dog.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to do this as my own business. And, you know, it went pretty well for about a decade, but it changes when everybody else starts getting the tools, when everybody else starts showing up with the stuff and just kind of making their own kind of decidedly crappier version. Well,
especially
if
you just let the machine do it without any skill at all, because you can just type a prompt. I can't stand that. I can't like it. But this isn't for profit or to generate for like my social media or anything. It's just because I want to remember this. It's funny, the drummer in my band at the time, he's like right in the front row of this picture at the show, and he looks like such a dork. And it makes me like, I almost like, if I'm going to do generative stuff, I almost might put a different face on it just to get rid of him. I don't think I would do him dirty like that, but it was like Fugazi, notoriously, like, there's no moshing. Dance all you want, but there's no moshing. And it's at the end of the, it's the beginning of 2000s into the 90s where moshing was like a huge problem, and they would time moshing would start, they would stop the show. And like,
yeah.
And so like the next night, this is such a brag, but like, I get to do a food bank, thing with this band called Rise Against. They're a Chicago band. Hardcore band. And like, and Tim McIlrath is the singer, and he comes in and he's like pumped because every alternative radio station they've got Swing Life Away as their single or whatever. And everyone wants a piece of them.
Remember it well.
and it's the least hardcore of their songs, but there was a biggest hit probably. Mm-hmm. No, it's not their biggest hit, but a big hit for them. He comes in and I knew what I was doing, but also like I didn't expect it to land. I wore my shellac t-shirt that day to this thing that I went to. And the guy comes in with a great attitude because they're like, they are big activist people. They are big in the community helping out. And for once, they don't have to ruin his voice by singing songs and playing for an audience and answering questions like that. They just get to come help the community. And it's like a lot more low key, and listeners are coming out to help. So they're like doing actual good by doing this. And it makes me feel good to be part of that.
So cool.
So he walks in and he's like, hey, good to see everybody. He sees me from across the room. He's like, are you wearing a shellac shirt? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, whoa. Also from Chicago, Shellac, a band that was fronted by Steve Albini, a Chicago artist who was a recording engineer. And this is another huge influence for me. Yeah. There's a recording that he recorded a Fugazi album before they went a different direction with it or whatever, but he did some demos for him. And it was like, when I found out that that existed and they released it, I was like, this is the coolest thing that I've ever heard of. It's not the best recording and it's not the best thing, but it was just the idea that on one side of the glass is Steve Albini, the other side of the glass is Fugazi, like blows my mind that that would be a thing. Anyway, so he sees that shirt and he comes, beelines right over to me. And we talk for like 15 minutes about that Fugazi tour. He saw them the next night because his then girlfriend, now wife, was going to school in Eastern Arizona, where they played some reservation show or something like that. And it was the last tour that they ever did properly. And so he was like, I saw them the next night, and they talked about what a disaster the show was in Tucson because everyone kept moshing and like they had to keep stopping the show. About halfway through the show that they're talking about, the drummer of my band comes back. We're all big Fugazi fans. We listen all the time. We know the ethics and everything. He comes back and he's like, man, the moshing is so awesome at this show. And we were like, dude, what are you doing? Like, they keep stopping the show because of you, you dummy. And there he is in the front row, duh, like looking at them. But even I joke, I actually probably wouldn't get rid of him from it, because even that is part of that memory. It like serves such a bigger thing or whatever. So
if anything, you need to blow that up and make that just a 4x6 of his dumb face.
I wish I was still in touch with him, because I would send him the picture and be like, did you know that you're like right here? Like, he just happens to be like kind of looking the right direction at the guy too. It's really stupid. So.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's fantastic.
Okay, well, this has been a weird episode. It's totally different. It's like a totally different feel to it. It's
I think we've been in the same room for a majority of the last 5 days. Yeah. And we've been honestly just doing the guy thing of just shooting the S back and forth, you know, and just constant, like we've been in a full-blown conversation, like deep stuff, surface stuff, whatever, for 5 days. Yeah. I think that's where that led this podcast. So
I like it. It's I'm sure I'll go back and hate it, but it's because it's me. But it's nice to have. It's just good rapport because, you know, again, we talk to each other for an hour a week for the podcast, and then we text amongst the four of us this podcast the same way, you know, all week a million times or whatever, except for Brandon. And just kidding, Brandon, we love you, and I'm sorry if that made you sad.
Scene.
Yeah, but we all spend that time, but it's nice to just get quality time and rhythm and reps and everything. Siege was on the show, like came in and was my intern on Friday. And then I just like whatever, he's like a professional communicator. So we just like talked about Nerd Talk Plus on the radio a ton and stuff. It was really fun. And so maybe we'll put out the audio of that at some point or so.
Yeah, that'd be
neat. Okay, so I guess we'll I don't even have anything snarky to say about us, and I don't know if there's much for Gravy to do here, but I guess it's time to wrap this thing up and we can ask, what do we learn this week? After all, this is a pretty heady show. Gravy?
Yeah, Brandon's going to learn that he's going to get 3.5% of all the daddies to make him keep his daddy crock pot that he's got in his yard there.
Oh, daddy crock pot is my new favorite.
Wow. That's amazing. Greg has been to Japan twice, but is scared to order Asian food at home. I learned about that. helping to support the Sounders from Florida soon is Jennifer Jarrett coming down.
My wife.
My wife.
Nerd talk,
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.